Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Well, it's a good day to be a prince with what we're talking about.
That's right.
Of course, Cinderella.
Yeah, you got to kiss the old Sleeping Beauty.
Welcome to the Disney podcast.
I forgot who we were talking about. But we have a great guest on today. Let's get him right in the mix because we got a lot to cover. James Mattern's here today. How are you, James?
Gentlemen, what a pleasure, man.
It's great to see you, brother. Thanks for coming. We were just talking about golf. We're doing the old pitch and putt right after this. I'm very excited. It's going to be a good day. I'm sunburned as hell. I don't know if you can tell. But we played. I'm having a very. Antonio's out of town for a few days, and I'm having a very recreational. I played wiffle ball all day on Sunday, and then I'm golfing.
You've been a man of leisure.
Yeah.
I see the wiffle ball bat.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, has it been used? And then you just use that right there.
That's to protect our home.
I hope you should.
I sleep with that under the bed.
That's hilarious.
We're not allowed to have guns in New York, so I use a wiffle ball bat.
It's the old school bat too. We used to be such psychopaths in Vegas. Do you all remember the big? It was like it's a rounder wiffle ball bat, and it was black. And we would cut the top.
Oh yeah, to
jimmy it full of paper. Pop the shit.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you should know where my boys stand on the steroid. Put them all in the Hall of Fame. We were cheating as children in wiffle ball. Doctor that shit up. Bring emery board backs. Put on the fucking ball.
You could just bring a fucking regular bat.
Should have used a regular. We would have broke the wiffle ball.
That's the problem. Yeah, that actually is not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that with this.
Bat. Just fill them with
jimmy
beer.
Jimmy it up, B.
Woof, but we're going to going to the pitch and putt. James just asked if there were cart curls.
I didn't think. I'm still waking up. It's on my third sip of energy drink. I'm like, and then the look of you two are so nice to me, and we're friends. And so there was a bit of, if this guy wasn't our friend Mattern, we would go real hard.
No, there was a bit of a
nice little pause and a smile, like, it's pitch and putt. There's no cart curls. And I processed it, and my thought was like, you guys should be meaner to me.
God damn. The only reason I even bring it up is that Tommy pointed out, he said there are no cart curls. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen a lady on that course. Yeah.
we had a very fun conversation. Yeah. That's in music.
This is why I brought it in.
So we start talking to this old guy who I think lives there.
Yeah, he'll probably be there today. Yeah. He gave us tips on how to sneak beer in, and I was like, I think we got it.
He was a lifer, but he started talking to us. And then all of a sudden, first he's talking about the golf course, which is the thing we can all talk about.
He showed his buddy has the course record.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Then he starts talking about, I used to be in a Rolling Stones cover band.
Yep. I don't remember how he got from A to B.
I think he just came over there and he goes, yep, I was Mick.
You know how I roll. We just met you, brother. We're just waiting on fucking Brent's going to get here.
That is so married with children.
Yeah.
That is so five touchdowns.
Yes.
Game three.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
You just meet random young boys, young dudes at a golf course.
Could
hey, you can sneak beer in this way. Also, I used to crush Satisfaction. Yep. Mm-hmm. What? You should hear me do Brown Sugar. No, we shouldn't, dum dum. We're just trying to get a couple licks in.
It was so funny. Tiggs and he goes, I saw the Stones. I saw the Stones way back in the day, back in 81. Well, they've been around for a long time in 81.
Nobody knew who they were.
They weren't peaking in 81.
No. Nobody knew what they were at that point.
Oh, my God.
We had nine.
What are you bragging about at that point? Yo, I saw Jimmy Page solo in 87. Who cares?
I saw Cinderella in 96.
that's possible.
That's possible. I know. No, but...
At a county fair, probably, unfortunately.
Did he say Journey got booed?
So Journey opened for them and got booed off the stage.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were probably incredibly feminine for that Stones audience in 81. Mm-hmm. The Stones were still the Stones, kick ass, and we're banging your underage sister, and we're snorting and shooting, and we don't give a shit.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, all the cool stuff. We played a concert. I mean, this is, 11 years after someone died at their concert, which they hate, but there was a stigma of coolness to that, to the fans. The Stones are so dope, motherfuckers die.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Killed the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I watched that documentary about that, about Altamont. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
Oh, It's hard to go out and have a smile after that. Like, if your lady wants to meet up, it's not going to be fun after that.
Hey, you want
to
go out and have a smile?
Have a smile. The cart girls will be there, James. Come have a smile.
So were you all in on, like, 80s hair metal, that kind of stuff? Was that your scene back then?
So I am older than y'all. I was there for that, all that fun MTV shit. Mm-hmm. So it's such a weird thing. I've come back to these roots of my youth now. I make like a playlist every week. It really helps me like be present and it's fun. And I realize my attraction is hair metal and then like the grunge alti stuff. So that I have a foot in each
in
door.
Both, yeah.
It's really weird. When that shit happened, I loved it and it killed glam and we all had to hate it for a long time. And then there became like a kitsch, like a retro love of it. And I realized, don't be ashamed for loving the first couple Motley Crue records. Mm-hmm. And don't be ashamed for liking Cinderella. And now it's full on fun. I was in LA. I was talking to Tommy. I was in Tom, LA,
oh,
like
yeah,
5 weeks ago.
Say Tom,
yeah, I realized, whoa, we got a lot of confusion here. 5 weeks ago, we're in LA for something. And I'm with my boy and he rented a convertible Mustang. And I go, if we're going to be here and we're going to be in these streets and this is the energy, we're only listening to Hair Nation on Sirius XM. I go, if this fucking changes once, I'm breaking your fucking hand.
Hell yeah.
He's the one driving. It's his money. I'm just the dumb with him.
Dude.
And it was great. And it inspired me again. I'm like, this is fun. And it's fun. This music's really fun. How do I put this? If you're not dumb, bless you. It's loved if you're dumb. And I'm not saying I'm smart, but I'm not. If you're not, like, you guys are intelligent boys. Listening to old hair metal, glam metal, and laughing at how ridiculous the lyrics that someone wrote these lyrics.
Right.
Like, I was listening to 80s Kiss yesterday. All hell's breaking loose. They should be put in jail for those lyrics. Paul Stanley's impersonating a black guy on the street. What is this? What is that? I'm like, what are you doing, Paul? But it's hilarious that he thought he was saying something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wonderful era to listen to now with hindsight as comedians in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, even like any loud like ballads are always going to have dumbass lyrics, but also listening to Nobody's Fool today, maybe it's because this is earlier than we normally record. Sure. So I was a little like, I usually am up till 3 every night. So if I wake up at like 10, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm a zombie or whatever. And I was just listening to Nobody's Fool and there's something so pathetic about just screaming. No. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but just him going, yes. Nobody's
the way
fool.
They sing. Yes, that is. So this is a band that is now almost considered decent, like good. Like even Klosterman has said it. Like they're really kind of a good blues band. And if all that 80s shit wasn't happening, they might have gone another direction. They could have been more of like a Stonesy, like how Aerosmith type band. You think about the left turn that turns like a band from Aerosmith to fucking Dokken. Like, it's just it's a slight turn, and it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I was reading a bunch about how the timing of their first record was so pivotal in them hitting, and then it kind of fucked them, too, because they wanted to be more bluesy, and then the 90s just fucked them. They were so not relevant by the time that came around.
It's crazy. And I think Tom Kiefer actually said some things in some songs, but when you, like, you're not wrong. When you, woo, it's tough to take.
It's not even me shitting on it. It's not him.
Valid.
It's the style. Yeah.
That hurts. And being called Cinderella.
Yeah.
And dressing like that. Even though they're like four dudes from Philly who will pop you in the mouth.
Right.
Straight up.
Sure. No, they seem like bad. I mean, they're all like, well, Tom Kiefer was like a drug addict in high school, I guess, and then got clean. But then I was reading about the other guy, what's his name, Jeff LaBar, who was like, yeah, I was fucked up the whole time and nobody really cared except for, it's kind of a tragic fucking thing because this is like, it's what you have to go through as a musician, it seems like, from this era to stay touring is sad a little bit. Like, you got to be on cruise ships and like, which is fine, like we do cruise ships and so our friends do cruise ships, but it's like having to be on like the, what is it, like the Power of Rock cruise ship or whatever. And then he talks about how he just like from boozing just like passed out in front of everybody at this cruise ship, and they like it was embarrassing, and he fucking lost. They were like, yeah, it's over. Like, this is the end.
It's so weird how, like, I drink a bit. We all like sure. throw down a little, and sometimes
the cart
like,
girls are coming around. You gotta, get a pop.
Where are them cart girls? Yeah, you have fun, and sometimes I'm like, man, I'm a real pirate, ain't I? And I realize. Not even a these fuckers yeah. drink yeah. to forget that they how big they once were.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And that now they have like 16 different alimonies and kids who hate them.
Yeah.
17 different mothers, and now they're on the Princess Twat or whatever they're on. You know what's crazy is I have never done a cruise. I was supposed to do Disney cruises, and then you know the troubles came in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I mean, would have gotten helicoptered off after one day.
Yeah. I was about to say the Disney cruise.
Did you hear how I was trying to helicopter? It was just a fart.
You just said like the SS Twat. It's like the first pull you had for a boat.
Moana, she's a bitch, huh?
And they come. Hey, guys. I also fill in for Big J a lot on STR podcast, mm-hmm. Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, and Ralph's the main host, and he always talked about Shiprocked. I don't know if I'm going to go there. And I'm like, please get – I dream of being on a boat with Cinderella and Winger and these assholes. That, to me, is a dream. And they're going to drink themselves to death and pass out. And yeah. I'm like, guys, can I get the email today? Can I get the fucking call?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah,
I was watching a little documentary about Cinderella, and
oh, shit.
So the first thing though, when they said they were from Philly, first I was surprised just because I think like Sunset Strip, and it's like Philly is the opposite energy of that. But when I heard they're from Philly, I was like, these guys are either going to love Bon Jovi or fucking despise Bon Jovi.
Right.
And it turned out that he discovered them.
He discovered
and they,
them.
Like, they were like good friends.
It's
crazy.
Wild because so Gene Simmons also yes. like before John Bon Jovi, they got an offer to be part of some label that was to do with Simmons, and they turned it down. And then John Bon Jovi was saw them at a Philly club when he was doing an album and popping around, and they were doing the club scene, and then he saw them and told his A&R guy like, hey, you got to see these guys. And the A&R guy was like, yeah, they're good, but they got to lose, I think, their drummer and then maybe their other second guitar player or something like that.
So crazy how that was a thing back in the
yeah, day. You could just be like, fuck.
Now you don't care.
Yeah.
Your drummer could have one arm, three arms, two eyes, four eyes, nothing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And back then, in the 80s, I think it's too bad. Like, that's such a huge thing. Everything was image, especially with MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Bon Jovi also, I believe, helped discover Skid Row, took them on tour.
Oh.
Think about Skid Row. I remember as a kid, opened for Bon Jovi. Can you imagine your like Bon Jovi? Even then, your mom would take you. They weren't cool.
Yeah,
I had a Bon Jovi hat and got beat the fuck up. They weren't cool. Can you imagine your mom, your family, all these cute girls, the same audience as Madonna at the same time, going to see Bon Jovi, and the opening act is playing Youth Gone. Do you realize how heavy Youth Gone Wild was for like a 9-year-old then? Like, there was heavier stuff. I mean, there was Slayer, but you weren't seeing Slayer. So you're going to see them and girls' lipstick and denim jackets and Slave to the Grind comes. Are you out of your goddamn mind? And also, Gene Simmons has tried to do that ruse a million times.
Yeah.
I'm reading Nothing But a Good Time right now, ironically. That's another reason why I'm like, let's do a hair band.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a fun, everyone out there, it's a fun oral history. You read the chapters in 10 seconds. It's the best. It's about all these bands in Sunset Strip. But Gene Simmons tried doing this shit with Van Halen, too. He comes in. Oh, you're great. Hey, I'll sign you to this and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to change your fucking name.
Yeah,
I forget if he was going to change Cinderella's name, but he wanted Van Halen to be called Daddy Long Legs.
No.
Can you imagine how awesome that would have been? Daddy Long Legs.
That is so funny.
Coming up next, a trooper of Daddy Long Legs, Ice Cream Man, and Jamie's crying.
They make him change their last name to Daddy Long Legs, too. Like, oh, you're Alex Daddy Long Legs.
Yeah, that's so funny. Rest in peace, Eddie Daddy Long Legs.
Oh, God. Before we start playing the music, I do want to play. I found this from my YouTube viewing that they did this hot dog commercial.
Oh, yes.
That I really wanted to play.
and you guys did more research. I was just
we had to do a little. We had to do a little. Because I didn't know anything about Cinderella until last night.
So this is fun. I'm glad that we... Because on my way here, I'm like, should we have done Van Halen? But
no,
I was like,
no,
I feel like all these other hair metal bands have probably been done by you guys.
So no, we haven't done like any hair metal.
Yeah. No, this was a good one. I didn't really know anything about them either. So this is a commercial they did for Pat's Chili Dogs in Philly.
Hell yeah.
This is why the 80s amazing. Should burn in hell. But it's also the best. And every documentary and everything's just 80s, 80s all the time, Kitch. And there's a reason why. It's so ridiculous. The cocaine in the 80s was on cocaine. Is that a, like, it's just so insanity. I lived through this shit. But as a kid, part of me is like, how lucky am I that I wasn't an adult?
Right.
Dead or corny?
Yeah.
People did so much coke, they're corny for the rest of their life.
Yep. That's really funny. you're just like, yeah, you're just done. Yeah. That's great. All right. Let's listen to some music. Let's get into it. So I'm just going to go in the order you sent, I think. I think that's maybe the way to do it.
Beautiful.
So the first song on this playlist you sent over is called Shake Me.
It's a big hit, guys. This might have been the first song we heard in the car on Hair Nation, me and Emilio in LA. Driving through Crenshaw.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, big statement there.
Pepe to come downstairs.
You know what's funny? When I was listening to this, I was like, this reminds me of AC/DC for some reason. I'm like, he literally is saying, shake me all night long.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that.
I was thinking about that when I was listening to it earlier, and it's like, I don't know. Like, this was such a, like, 80s, 70s thing, shaking as sex, which is like, that is not like a hot thing now. Nobody's ever like, yeah, shake me, bitch. Like, it's not like, it's just weird.
It's like a line of RoboCop.
But it's like, yeah, shook me all night long, and then this, it's like, shaking does not sound, that's not what I associate with sex.
How many shake songs are there? There's Shaken by Eddie Money.
Yep.
You all know that one?
Yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
That crazy drum brawl at the beginning? Yeah. The tumble?
Shake, 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 senora.
Oh my God. It's a Beetlejuice. I'll never watch that movie the same again.
Yeah, that. So that was
the first single.
Yep. Yeah, but it was not the thing that got them on the maps. It didn't take off. And so the label immediately shifted gears and started pushing Nobody's Fool, which was their first one to take off, their first big hit. But this song did not chart when it came out, and so they went into bozo mode, and they were like, shit, we gotta switch it up. And they had success with Nobody's Fool and Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone.
I do want to play like the first 5 seconds of the music video in case anyone who doesn't know the band like we didn't before is wondering, did they lean in to the name Cinderella?
Yeah.
Because yes, they do. They open the video with Cinderella sweeping a room, and then the wicked stepsisters come in, and this is what they say.
So, the work's not done, is it? so sad. We're going to the Cinderella concert, and you have to stay home. Bye.
Damn.
That's fucked up.
They're in several videos.
Yes.
They're at least in Nobody's Fool. Mm-hmm. I have, I'll admit this before you even play Nobody. I have spent many nights watching that video. I love it. I used to, my last day job was the Hard Rock Cafe. And when I started in 06, they still played more rock videos. And mm-hmm. that would come on my sad ass Sunday night shifts. It was one night shift I was stuck with, so I couldn't do stand up. I'm stuck there. And that would come on. It was my bastion of joy. I don't know how it snuck into the playlist in 06 between Britney Spears and horse shit. And it was wonderful. I would go home sad. I'd watch that video. I love it, and I have thought numerous times, boys, too many times to admit publicly with and not feel bad about it, so I feel horrible, yeah. but whatever. I wonder where the fuck those two actresses
yeah.
are. I want to know, do they have families? What are they? Did they get side hustles at Vivid Video, and I'm just not recognizing them now? Like, what was their yeah. I want a behind the video. I want to know where these ladies are. The main actress, I'm sure, is fine. She's probably... married to a finance guy. That's like you always find out when you Google them. Yep. But those two I'm intrigued by. I want to know where the stepsisters of the videos are. If anyone has a lead, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, please write in. If you know
write
where
in.
Hey, if you're those girls, write in.
Write in. Give the note to the cart girl.
Yes.
And the cart girl will deliver this to us. Come on, God damn it.
All right, let's hear nobody's. Oh wait, what do I got here? Is this Graham K. Bailing? It is. Yep,
son of a.
That's fine. All right, let's hear Nobody's Fool.
I might cry. Utterly ridiculous and wonderfully spectacular at the same time.
I was not that it's a bad song. I was surprised this was such a hit. It's a long ass song.
It's long.
It's over. No, it's 4:47. I thought it was five. Maybe it was just because they keep repeating. Nobody.
There's a lot of repetition. It's so. This is one reason I like them though too. Well, I think they stand out is. They're dark. Like, that's a, I mean, it's a ballad. So, you know, the old rule then. Second single's a power ballad. I mean, it's just everyone had to do it.
Right.
But this, like, that's a dark song. And their first two records, really cool album titles, if you think about it, for a band that's different than the rest. Night Songs. Mm-hmm. These are songs from the night. What was the worst statement, that or the cart girl? As I said it, but like it comes from like this darkness. We're from the streets. This wild shit going on in the 80s.
Maroon 5. These are songs about Jane. All right?
And then Long Cold Winter. Dark. It's just the sadness. I should just walk out now. I'm taking the wiffle ball back with me. I'm shoving it up my anal hole.
Songs about night.
Songs about. I sound like I'm in a parody movie about this shit. Like I'm pitching to the A&R guy. Look, this album's called Night Songs. These are songs about night.
We didn't have day back then.
In the 80s? Shit.
That's great.
Didn't call it the Sunrise Strip, I'll tell you that much.
What if that was parallel? What if they changed Hollywood Boulevard to Sunrise Strip? If you guys want to go there and be cheery, you want to go out for a smile. Literally, I'm just calling back my own tongues the whole time.
In the Song Facts interview with Tom Kiefer, he explained, that song, that's something I think everyone can relate to. In life, there is the falling in love, and then there's the falling out of love. There are songs for both experiences, and Nobody's Fool is certainly the song for the falling out of love experience. I would say that this, that was not written for any one particular person. I'd been through that several times prior to writing that song. A lot of times the emotions of songs are cumulative. That's not one particular experience, but the culmination of many. So there you go.
I've cried to one specific girl over and over. That song. And you guys probably know her. I won't name it here, but yes.
One of the stepsisters?
She came into my life like a bastion of light. Would that be amazing? I mean, she's probably, what, about 7 years older than me? At this point, who cares? Would be phenomenal. If I end up falling in love with one of the stepsisters... Can we just really be blunt here? At this point, right? Who cares?
Yeah,
I clearly have masturbated to in my youth.
That's what I thought you were going to admit to earlier. I was waiting for that to...
I mean, can we write this movie? Can we get this story? And then
that's a movie I can't wait to see. Jacking off to this music video.
I won't even play myself because let's be honest, they won't let me. But I'll play the A&R guy. Or I'll play the manager going, these are songs about the night.
Timothy Chalamet as James Madden.
Oh, please, get it in.
All right. Let's hear something. It says that this charted at number 13.
Which is still a big deal. That people don't realize that these bands were big, but they not everything was like a top five hit.
Right.
There's only a handful that really were big overall, but that was a big thing. To get to number 13 then, huge.
I found a quote from Kiefer that made me laugh because he seems like a cool guy, but it was from his artist facts on here, and it was that he wanted to he wanted to make music, and so he learned it says inspired by his heroes the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin, Kiefer started writing songs. Kiefer stated, "Why do they get to make records? It's because they have their own songs, and you're going to need that before you get an opportunity to make a record." shit, man. Anyways, all right, let's hear the next song on this playlist. We've teased it enough. Let's hear Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone.
The big one. Try this whole goddamn
I found an interesting story about this song. I read an article called The Story Behind Cinderella's Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. Kiefer wrote this when they were on there at a high point about what if it all goes away? That would fucking suck.
Yeah.
And little did he know what was soon to come. But he says, on an absolute high back then, we were working with Andy Johns, the legendary producer of the Rolling Stones and Free, on our debut album, Night Songs, and things could scarcely have gotten any better. It was while driving to the studio in Gladwin, Pennsylvania, during the recording of Night Songs, that Kiefer was struck by the idea of a song. Little did he know that it was destined to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So he's all excited. He sits down at the piano to record, and cue the arrival of Andy Johns, keen to crack on with the album and in no mood to listen to a half-written song idea. Kiefer says, "Andy is no longer with us, and I miss him dearly. He was well over 6 feet tall and had quite a presence." Yeah. He told me, "Stop dicking around and get in here. There's work to do. We don't need yet another ballad." Under playful duress from Kiefer, Andy said, "Okay, Thomas. Well, he was English." Johns agreed to sit alongside Kiefer at the piano for an impromptu preview of his new song's first draft. "I became carried away with my playing, and when I finally turned around to Andy, this hard-as-nails guy had a tear streaming down his cheek." Kiefer recalls, "At that moment, I knew I had quite a song." By Kiefer's own admission, Cinderella had been banging around the clubs of Philly before being discovered. And however, once Bon Jovi recommended them to his label, their rise seemed amazingly fast. Night Songs peaked at number 3 on Billboard's on America's Billboard chart, selling 2 million copies. Later, being certified triple plat.
Damn.
When Cinderella renewed their relationship with Johns on the follow-up, The Long Cold Winter, the inclusion of "Don't Know What You Got" was a complete no-brainer. The problem was that we cut the song way too fast, so they had to start over again and slow down the drums, which we wanted to keep, which is why they sound so huge, because Vera speeding affects the pitch. I listened back. You can hear the drums like super loud in it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot from this. He gets bummed that people accuse them of changing their style from record to record. To me, it was a progression. We became better musicians and learned how to paint landscapes using dobros, pianos, and harmonicas to build up the colors. The writing style didn't change at all because it was all based on the blues, country, and gospel, the ups and downs of life, or falling in out of love. This is the line I really like. It's Cinderella's early status as press darlings would soon cool, and one bemused UK reviewer famously said of Long Cold Winter, "Tom Kiefer wouldn't know the blues if somebody rubbed him face down in Mississippi mud."
Wow, that's a goddamn burn.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
What's this British ass know about Mississippi?
Yeah, exactly. By contrast, "Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone" grew ever more popular and made a poignant appearance in the cartoon TV series South Park.
Yeah,
as Cartman lay motionless on his bed for its entire duration, surrounded by tissues. Kiefer says, "That was hilarious. It really sums up what the song's about."
I really respect his authority.
That's so great.
He talks about, so I don't know when this article is from, but I don't know if this is up to date, but he said that there was no hope of the, this was in 2017. So he said there was no hope of the band reuniting or anything. And he might put out some more solo stuff, but that was it. But he said he was playing "Don't Know What You Got" as a solo artist with his wife, Savannah,
yes,
and remodeled it in acoustic form for VH1. Now we do it unplugged for a while before the band busts into the electric version that everybody knows. It brings the house down every night, he says, smiling. Sometimes when Savannah's not with me on tour at that part of the show, when the roadies pull up the stools, I'll call her and ask the audience to sing the chorus to her at the top of their lungs, he adds. It helps us both out. Nobody wants to be lonely, right? Sad ass ending. All right.
If I was Savannah, I'd probably be like watching a movie or something. Like, all right, I'll do this shit again.
Honey, really? Bring it down the house again.
Do we really need Harrisburg to scream this shit at me? Dude, you know it's great. Did you guys watch the video for this?
I have not. Oh yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
It must have cost more than a Michael Bay movie. It is. They're like in some rock island. It's gorgeous, and then they go to like fields of Ireland. It's like three different settings of the most gorgeous aerial shots in '88. '88. No drones. Some asshole on a plane. Like it was. It's what they used to spend so much just to promote a song. It's unbelievable. And I think this might have. I could be wrong. I think this might have broken the rule. I want to say that that was the lead single on that record. That they went ballad first.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I want to point out earlier, I said the thing about the hits or whatever with I knew that that wasn't on Night Songs. That's just what the song facts said. Sometimes people get pissy or whatever, but
don't get pissy, everybody.
Don't get pissy. I learned about this band yesterday. All right,
this is so fun to watch.
I've heard so much
in real time.
Yeah, that's no, that song is great though. It's fun. And also the first YouTube comment was I may be 50, but this is still my favorite band. Yeah, of course, man.
Yes. I saw a really funny YouTube comment where some guy was like, I wore my Cinderella shirt to the gym and all these guys looked at me like I was so old, .. I'm 42.
Yo, wait till you get in your 40s. It's really confusing. It really is where you're not as old as an old guy on the train, but you realize if you're 21 and saw you, you'd probably like look at that old guy on the train. Like that is really where I'm at now in my mid-40s. I feel good. I feel like I'm aging all right. But
you look great, James.
Thank you. But I have occasionally been called old guy, and girls I date love to remind me I'm fucking old. Oh, you're so old. Well, you're fucking the old guy. What do you want? Who's worse? It's gonna happen to you too. You should be so lucky.
You're fucking the old
you're
guy.
Fucking the old guy. I said that to a girl the other day. You're fucking the old guy. Who do you care? It's your. You should get the fuck out.
Back in my
day. Or call your dad.
Back in my day, women were happy to go out and be taken out for a smile.
I'm taking you out for a smile.
You broads want BTS tickets.
Yeah. I'm taking you to a Rolling Stones cover band with a dude from the golf course. You got VIP seats next to the car, girl.
All right, let's hear a couple. We got three more songs here, and we got to get to the comments from our listeners. All right, next song here is Somebody Save Me.
Oh,
this is where they get
political. Yeah, somebody save me.
But the night.
You can't listen to this during the day. What we're doing is fucked up.
This is wrong. This is crossing.
Wait, this is so funny right here. She just killed him?
His voice does sound a lot like AC/DC, like the Bon Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every word of this song. Oh my God.
I can't even. What is he saying there?
This is about the world going to shit in the late 80s, boys, which people were talking about. Someone did it really well. That guy was Prince with a double album called Sign of the
Sign
Times.
Sign of the Times, yeah.
And the title track tackles a lot of these issues very well. This was the hair metal version of Sign of the Times. Get with it.
He says, yeah, I lost my job. They kicked me out of my tree.
My tree?
Yeah, my tree.
He talks about, what, nuclear waste and shit, right? It's all kinds of wild stuff in there.
Something about that line I pointed out earlier. Just get yourself a pretty wife. She'll collect your life insurance when she connects you with a knife.
Yeah.
It's the funniest fucking line in the world.
It's really spectacular, boys.
Like, how much is he worrying about getting stabbed by his wife?
By his wife. He's not. We all should be.
We all should be.
Have you looked at the calendar? Have you seen what's going on? Do you know that Bret Easton Ellis is writing American Psycho right now? Isn't that crazy? At the same time that this music was coming out, R.E.M. was crushing it.
Right.
Yeah.
There was
Replacements.
I was about to say Husker Du. And, like, there was so much good. The Pixies had just formed.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there was so much of this. It's so fascinating.
That is wild to think about the Pixies playing at the same time. Like,
starting.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the alt revolution was happening. And this indie. It's so crazy when, I mean, we're all snobs, right? That's why you have this one podcast. Right. Like, I went to school. I was going to be a critic. I love it. As much as I love this dumb shit, I mean, I love all that good shit. And I've read all about all that good shit. And it's crazy. I mean, the critics talk about the 80s. Everyone thinks of the 80s of this shit. And they're like, oh, it stinks. It's corny. Mm-hmm. But so many of the all-time greatest records came out in this era of just like post-punk and some of the great indie shit. And it's Sonic Youth was doing some wonderful stuff. Dinosaur Jr., all kinds of great stuff was coming out at the same time that you're here. Stab in with the knife. Like, it's wild. Man,
we got to do an appreciation of Dinosaur Jr. episode. I love that. I'm a
big fan.
I love Dinosaur Jr.
Jay Masses is God. That was a huge album, or a magazine cover when it came out.
Hell yeah. I mean, he fucking rules. He's so cool. All right, let's listen to Gypsy Road.
Oh, Can't Take Me Home.
Gypsy Road.
It just dawned on me, like within probably about like 8 months of this coming out, Soundgarden was putting out Ultra Mega OK, and Nirvana was putting out Bleach.
Wow.
That's insanity.
That is crazy.
Both inspired by this song.
By this song, yes. And the golden age of hip hop was starting.
Yeah.
So think about all that good stuff.
This charted at 51 in the States. The song is the off Cinderella's second album, The Long Cold Winter. I thought it said where it, which single it was, but I guess it does not.
I want to say that was the third. Yeah, it's either the second. I want to say, this is just, let's savant it up here. I want to say it was Don't Know What You Got. I want to say probably Gypsy Road, Going Home, and Last Mile. With the four in order. If I get this,
I don't have a way of in America. Him, so hey, if you're listening at home and you know, give my man his props.
I remember being at the Orange County fair on a goddamn what are these those things that go like this?
Oh, Ferris wheel.
Yeah. What am I doing with my life? And just everyone who works there is just looks like they got out of jail and had to double back at a car wash. And the guy looked like he should be listening to this and was, and blasted this song on a fucking loop. And we just got out of a Galvatron where they played an unmake-up Kiss album nonstop, and we couldn't get off. It was a horrible 30 minutes. But so this was a palate cleanse.
Yeah. I do have the singles in order.
Let's do it.
And I will say... Close. That you should have stuck with your instincts because they put the ballad out second.
It did go second. So what was
Gypsy
one?
Road was one.
Was one.
Wow. Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone was two. Last Mile three. Coming Home four.
So I was all fucked up.
I'm glad. Thank you, Tommy.
Yeah, they list them in order facts on Wikipedia when you look at the.
Look, feelings don't care about your facts, Tommy. Damn it.
But it was your initial thing you said. Yeah. Let's put the ballad second.
That's always the rule, but I don't remember Gypsy Road even getting played on MTV at that point. Mm. But there was like a log jam. There was nothing but GNR and Def Leppard and Metallica finally released a video.
There you go. All right. We got, I believe, one more song? Shelter. Is it one or two? Oh, yeah, it's one. Oh, God damn it, I lost it. Well, we had a good show.
This might be the greatest hair metal song of all time. Photograph?
That just started up.
That was my first video I ever saw.
Oh, shit.
Changed my life.
Damn. It's now.
Look at this photograph. Oh my God. If you're going to rank songs named Photograph, there's a lot. I mean, that's the bot. All right. So number one is Def Leppard.
Tread Lightly.
Number two, Weezer.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that song.
Great off the Green record.
Yeah. So good.
Three, Ringo Has a Photograph. Mm. Did this podcast start because you were defending Nickelback?
No, although we had somebody do that on the Patreon. We haven't had a main feed Nickelback defense yet.
I'd like to be in the room to attack, to physically assault. I would like amnesty. I feel like you can assault someone for their band taste. This is like the UN. You're allowed in this studio.
When we did listen to them on the Patreon, I was reminded that there are some Nickelback songs that I do enjoy.
I mean, how you remind me still.
Oh yeah.
Is that the big one?
Yeah. That was their first hit. Yeah. And then the Rockstar is fun too.
Rockstar is
silly.
I'll take a quesadilla. All right. Let's hear Shelter Me. Is that a didgeridoo?
It might be. There's a dojo guitar. This is a flop. Still a thing at this point, and they put out a gospel single. And the video has Little Richard, and it's basically pro some censorship. The video that we all need to be sheltered a little bit.
That's good. Very luck. Funny. It's also the line is. It just sounds stupid. We all need a little shelter. It's a like little. Shelter is one of the basic human needs.
Real shelter. This is shelter. We have four walls around us, boys.
That is truly one of. Yeah, we do need that. We all need a little shelter.
It's almost like Tom Kiefer got the memo that grunge and alt music was coming.
Yeah.
And you can't fire me. I quit. Because this was a flop. Like, this video played like 8 times, disappeared, and within months, it was Alice in Chains nonstop on the MTV. Like, it was that quick. Like, he knew, he could smell it. It's like, we'll just put out this record for us and go away. Well, everyone else went kicking and screaming. Warrant still thought they had a run. Winger still thought they had a run.
Is there a shot at Tipper Gore in this? I didn't hear all the lyrics, but the multiple people in the comments are talking about Tipper Gore. It says, Heather from Holbrook says, gotta love the Tipper Gore dig. And Tipper Gore did so much for the safety of children. Free speech is what our founding fathers felt was most important. Hence the First Amendment. Even unpopular free speech is supposed to be protected. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. What did or could Tipper do to protect the kids? Sarcastic ass.
See, I always thought that this was... I'm learning from you guys. God bless.
I don't know if that's
what it is. I guess that they're implying that this was... sarcastic. Yeah, we all need a little shelter. I thought it really was
it
telling
be,
me
though.
That we need a little bit of censorship because yeah, the PR, whatever MC that man D. Snyder to this day will not let it go. How much he owned the Senate when he was at that hearing, him and John Denver and Frank Zappa. People forget though. So when they put the stickers on these records,
yeah,
it's the greatest thing to happen to music.
Yeah,
every record that had a sticker sold like 100,000 to 500,000 more. Like it was, I had a shirt that said "Parental Advisory" explicitly. Yeah. Wore it every other day in high school. Every other day,
yeah.
It was, so it, but this was like a big deal. They were just doing censor our music.
Yeah,
fucking great. Who
it
cares?
Did feel cool to have one of those albums. Like whenever you saw that on an album, you were like, "This is gonna fucking rule."
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Of course, I would never buy one. It was illegal.
When I had it, it felt good. Almost as good as when I got that Vivid video starring the Wicked Stepsisters in the breakout film.
All right, that's the playlist. We have another segment to get to before we wrap this thing up. We got to get to the people who listen to this show. They like to give their thoughts on whatever bands we're talking about. And so first we go to the people who are on our Patreon. By the way, welcome new patron, Kerwin Vega. Cool name.
Ooh.
It's a Muppet-ass name. I like it. Kerwin. All right, so the people I posted today, we were talking about Cinderella, and Larry G. Huffman says, my wife and I fostered a pair of Great Pyrenees puppies that were named Jack and Gus Gus after the mice in the movie. That breed gets as big as a small horse. crying, laughing. Of course, talking about the film Cinderella. What the fuck? I think I said the band Cinderella. Nick Clerkin says, Tommy's favorite part is when the mice turn into horses.
God damn it.
There's a running bit that Tommy's into horses.
Yeah, they're a good animal.
I have to explain.
Good animal.
Yeah, so I just needed you to know because I think there's going to be a lot of references to this. Yeah.
Bring the horses on.
Adam Shellhammer says, what a weird time for popular music the mid-80s was. I was 5 years old and my brother, 8 or 9, when he purchased his first cassette tape of Cinderella's Night Songs at the Musicland in Marion, Indiana. I still don't know why the short-lived trend was for hair metal bands to dress in drag, but Cinderella somehow still seemed edgy to a little kid. I'm still surprised they didn't get as popular as some of the other hair metal bands. They had a song called Once Around the Ride that probably reminds Tommy of his last trip to the horse stables. Damn, 3 for 3. Quinn says, I'm just here to find out why Rich Strike isn't running the Preakness, Tommy.
Wow.
That's a horse
Let's
name.
Let's just say that Rich Strike has got other plans. A little Airbnb.
Jess Tabor said, somebody save me. This better be a damn appreciation episode. Cinderella defines underrated glam metal. Shake Me might get the fucking party going, but Hot and Bothered is what Tommy pregames to before horsing around. We did it, folks. All the comments 100%. On the Patreon.
That's the triple crown right there.
There it is. What's that ticket pay?
Tommy, do we get anything on the Twitter?
Just one on the Twitter. Your old friend of the show, John Rosenberger, said, don't know what you got till it's gone is a sleeper hit.
Oh, shit. All right. We'll just read a couple on the Facebook. Matt Alonzo Morning, who just executed a fantastic Limestone Comedy Festival, from all I hear. Everybody said it was great. So congrats. Reminder, I will be in Indiana this weekend at the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis Friday and Saturday. So come out to that. Matt says, I always respected the fact that they did the full teased hair, makeup, and glam outfits that was the dominant hair metal trend of the time, simply to get a multi-album record deal. And then their second record is basically a 70s blues rock album, and they were just wearing jeans and t-shirts from then on out. That's interesting. What do you think?
It is. And a lot of these guys didn't wear the dresses and full-on look like women till Poison. Poison really changed everything, because everyone was just trying to look like Mad Max because of Motley Crue.
Interesting.
And then Poison came out from Pittsburgh, of all places, going, hey, we want to look like your sister. And it worked. Hell yeah. God damn it. Talk dirty to me.
All right, I'll just read two more comments here. Tim McLaughlin says, who's on the show today? My Uncle John.
It's your Uncle James.
It's your
Close
Uncle
enough.
James, brother. And then finally, Mark Handelman says, did Tommy finally stop saying nay to doing hair metal bands? I don't even think that's a thing.
That's terrific.
All right. He continued with, there were other hair bands that tried to follow Cinderella's blues rock sound and no one could come close. It's also why 94 Still Climbing holds up overall compared to other hair bands trying to sound contemporary. Also, I'm sorry, Tommy. All right, that brings us to the final part of this show here, James. We are going to rate the playlist out of 6, but before we do that, you get to give us your final thoughts on Cinderella.
They stand out amongst those bands in lots of ways. I do think they're darker. I think the writing is better than a lot of these bands. I think Tom Kiefer tried to say things other than I'm going to feel you up in the back of a car. He did plenty of that too, but everyone else was just trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're an interesting band. If they would have came 5 years earlier, 5 years later, the songs are still there, because without songs, you can't have a record, guys.
That's a great point.
But those songs could be slightly different. They might be a different band, and mm-hmm. it would be interesting to see. I think they were talented. I think Kiefer's a talented dude, and I still love him a lot. And they don't get the credit of the Motley Crue's or the Poison. I think they're better than Poison. Crue is a better band. If you put Def Leppard in there, Def Leppard's better. But they're definitely, if we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of those bands, mm-hmm. I'd say they're in it. And I think they're, if they're the Beatles, they're the Ringo of the of hair metal. They just don't get enough respect, and they should. So that's what I have to say about
Well put.
Somebody save me.
Well put. All right, this is a tough playlist for me because I, like I said, didn't know a lot about the band. I did know the songs Nobody's Fool and Don't Know What You Got before this very day. I did have fun listening to the music. It was a good time.
Makes you feel good.
I think you did a great job putting this together. I learned a lot about this band. I learned a lot about myself. But
I learned a lot about that. How often does that sentence come? Those two sentences back to back. I learned a lot about this band. I learned a lot about myself. What band? Cinderella. Yeah. Never been done ever in its life.
Having said all that, 3.8 out of 6. Tommy, what do you got?
I was literally going to say 3.75, so that's very funny. We were right on the same. Yeah, you know, I didn't. I'm not like one of those people who's like allergic to this type of music at all. I found it really enjoyable. I thought it was fun.
What do those hives go about?
What's going on with those? Do we need some cortisone?
Some of it was definitely silly in the way that you were talking about before, which is more fun to listen to than if it's not. But then, I think I do like their sound better than some of the stuff that's not influenced by classic rock in that way. Like, I like to hear some piano in there. And so, you know what? I thought it was, I enjoyed it. So, at 3.75 out of 6.
And James, you get to rate the playlist as well out of 6.
6. Well, I sequenced this perfectly, I thought. So,
of course. I'm gonna,
I'll give it a 4.5. Be
You can give it a 6. I love when people don't give it a 6. It's so funny.
Remember, I went from this to fucking Beck's Loser. So I have that in my head. All right? I have the grunge era of like, oh, I'm not that great.
I like that. But James, this has been so fucking fun. And you got some stuff to promote. Let's get it out there for the people.
Buddy, please, thank you so much for having me. This is so great. I love this concept.
Fun,
I love you too. I love you too on
brother.
This concept. I love every. I don't love that I'm saying concept. Like I'm a goddamn, like I work for the other side of the business. This concept has legs, baby. I sound like the character Pink Floyd's making fun of it and have a cigar. We can all come together as a team. June 3rd, I'm releasing my special YouTube's exclusively. It's called The Check Spot.
Yes.
It already was released as an album, but this is almost completely different. There's barely any crossover, maybe 10 minutes. This is the worst. If you're a comedy fan, the worst part of a comedy show is when the bills come out. On the road, headliners get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing, and then all of a sudden, how much for this? And then every headliner goes to crowd work and nude shit.
Yeah.
In the city, in New York City, and showcase rooms, it's usually young comics or the host. I decided to stay on stage and record a Q&A with the audience. This is two full Q&As. Pieced together with some interviews. It's in black and white. It looks like film noir. It's the coolest thing I've ever done. It's The Check Spot, directed by Patrick Hobart. It is fucking great. And June 2nd, New York Comedy Club, we will be screening it at midnight. I'm having a show at 10:30 with Night Cream, Greg Stone's band.
Oh, yes, we love
Yanni Cassandra's, Phil Hanley, and Andy Fiore. I will be hosting. I'll be getting drunk. And at midnight, we will be screening it. I don't even know if this thing can follow. If any special that's about the Check Spot can follow Night Cream, it will be this. So come to this goddamn thing.
Dude,
June 2nd,
New York
Comedy Club, 10:30. And then at midnight on June 3rd on YouTube's. The
Hell
Check
yeah.
Spot. Thank
Dude.
You for letting me promote this, guys.
Course,
I'm very proud of it. And this show's the greatest thing in the goddamn world.
Hey, you're
so
the greatest, James. Definitely fucking check
out
James'
awesome.
Shit.
I'm excited to see it. Yeah.
James is the fucking best, and you're going to have a great time with that. I can't wait. I can't wait to see that. And
it's gonna be fun.
I want to get over to that show. I like,
come to
that
show, boys.
So fun.
Yeah.
You're going to see me drunk as a skunk? Eating up a monk, baby.
I love shit. Leave the monks out of it.
Is that off the third Cinderella album? Is that lyrics? Or is that more of a winger lyric?
Really quick, like I said, I'll be in Indianapolis this coming weekend. We're doing a pop-up show.
Just announced.
Just announced.
New Orleans,
we're doing
Louisiana.
New Orleans.
Come on.
It's the precursor for my bachelor party. We need people. It's me, Shane Torres, and Tommy. We're doing a small theater. We're terrified no one is going to come. we announced it very late. I'm doing my first album at the end of the year in Fort Collins at the Comedy Fort. So please come to that. Also, just just added to their website. In September, I'll be at Kansas City Comedy Club. I'll be at High Plains. I'm going to be at Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Comedy Showcase there. Rumors in Winnipeg. I got a bunch of stuff coming up, so get over there. Check out my website, all that good stuff. Tommy?
Yeah, just come to that show in New Orleans, and I love you guys.
We love you. Thanks again, James. You're the fucking man. We'll see you guys next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's He Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Cinderella. Not the movie, though. Sorry. So it's interesting because Cinderella was kind of in my wheelhouse. I was a big, like, sort of hair metal cassette buyer around this time. And I remember when their first album was released, and of course they were like, it looks like a very staged photo of they're all just like trying to look a certain way. And that made sense because, you know, hair metal at that point was really hot, but like reading about them, I don't know this is exactly who they were. They just were sort of trying to fill a void, or I guess sort of pile on. But I will say that like there's one song on the first album that was a hit. And I'm going to get them mixed up, but they had the two hits. One of them was on the first album. And the other one was on that second album. And they both were kind of ballady type hits. But I remember, and just now listening again, the thing that kind of stood out about them was that their singer kind of sucked. Like, he like can't really sing. Like, it's very like almost off-putting, like, you know, maybe he's going for AC/DC type vocals, but like, it's just not there. But like, there's something also interesting about it. Like, and I always make fun of Rob Thomas, or no, not Rob Thomas, the guy from Third Eye Blind, whatever the fuck his name is, where like, they were like a famous band where like, the guy just legitimately just cannot sing. Like, he's just out of key. And like, this is kind of in that same way, but it works. So like, I don't know. Like, this is a stretch because they were really not. I mean, they because the genre was so big, there was a moment where Cinderella was kind of big. But this is kind of like doing like last, like the Fray or whatever. It's just they kind of were never really a thing as much as it maybe the person who, and in last week's case, the Fray. I mean, they, you know, certainly they were. Like, people know them, but they weren't a big deal. So, anyway, all right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.